Chris, it's a new episode. We have some new things to talk about, and you have some new things that you bought.
Yeah.
Do you want to let the class know what you brought to show and tell this week?
Okay, well, this is getting weird. Santa Claus got me a 12.9-inch iPad Pro, 512-gig cellular space gray. We talked about this at the last episode. I was kind of going back and forth that I would probably most likely definitely go get a 12.9-inch iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. So I went and got one. I like it. I like it a lot. It's very nice. I returned the 11-inch one. I had like a few days left on the return window, and I really had a heart-to-heart with myself about like, hey, do you really need two? And my plan for the 11-inch one was kind of dumb. It was, hey, you just leave it around the house, and you can use it while you're sitting on the couch and play with shortcuts and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's a $1,200 computer that's just sitting around. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's Christmas time. No, that's just not responsible at all whatsoever. So I returned the 11. I got the 12.9. I did get the cellular model this time for reasons that I'm not going to go into for other stuff. Well, other than the fact that I just wanted the cellular model. I think the cellular model, if you work off the iPad, is a lot more helpful just because you can kind of work anywhere. Yeah, I love the screen size. The multitasking is good. It's so much lighter and so much smaller than the previous generation 12.9. Like, yeah. It's much easier to hold, but the portability still isn't as good as the 11-inch one. That's like the one thing I still miss, is it's not as easy just to kind of like hold it in my hand and like carry it around the house or sit on the couch and play with it. But I have to admit I was wrong about something.
Okay. What was that?
So in the last episode, we talked about the 1 terabyte models having the 6 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Apple mentioned that it's just for the storage controller and that apps don't take advantage of it. And I think it was like right after we recorded. I don't remember exactly how it worked out, but it was like right after we recorded, Federico Vitici of Mac Stories, he put together like a shortcut that took a 5K screenshot off of an iMac and encoded and decoded it. I think it was like 1,000 times or something like that.
Yeah, it was.
And then the 4 gig models and like iPhones and stuff like that would crash, but the the 1 terabyte model of the iPad Pro with the 6 gigs of RAM, the new version, it actually ran the whole shortcut. So it was taking advantage of that memory. And there were some really some tools he plugged in to really measure it. It was definitely the case. We don't need to go into the specifics of why. I said it didn't. A bunch of people emailed me, but I did see that from him when he posted that. I still went with the 512 model. I think that's more than enough for me. Apple's never going to say, hey, here's some features, but it's only going to work on the 2018 iPad Pros 1 terabyte. It'll just be, it works on the 2018 iPad Pros or it doesn't work on the 2018 iPad Pros. It's kind of like the first 12.9 iPad Pro actually has 4 gigs of RAM, but it couldn't do split view plus slide over at the same time. Like it didn't, you weren't able to tap on all the apps at the same time, unlike the second generation iPad Pros. I don't really think you will ever get anything that's noticeably beneficial out of it. I cannot think of a single shortcut that I would need to run that would have that many steps or something like that, that it would need that much memory. I think it's fine. If you're seriously thinking, oh my gosh, I have to buy the 1 terabyte model because I need 6 gigs of RAM, I really don't think you do. I mean, I edit video and podcasts on this, and I haven't run into any roadblocks whatsoever.
Yeah, and I mean, the processor alone will bring some sort of boost into the performance of the device compared to previous models. I mean, you mentioned that when you talked about the 11-inch. Is that still the case with the 12, that the A12X is like crazy fast compared to the A12?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's insanely fast. I will export 4K video in the highest possible bit rate, H.265 or 4, I don't remember, one of those, MP4, I'll export the video, and it exports just slightly less than real time. Like, it's incredibly fast. Okay. I mean, you've done video work, like exporting mm-hmm. video in real time. Like when I was doing like student films and stuff like that, we would have to set up our exports to run overnight because it would take hours. And if we yep. did it while we were like working like in class or like had lab time or whatever, we would not be able to work on our videos. So we had to get it to run overnight, be the first ones in the lab so we can be sure to get our video off there. So somebody didn't go, what's this project? Command A, delete.
When I was in college, I had a Mac Pro that was like a prosumer model. It wasn't low end, but it wasn't high end either. It was kind of in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I would export, and it would take around four times, however long the length of the video is. And that was as big as it would get, or as fast I could get it to go. And that would still take, you know, four times the length. So if it's a 10-minute video that I'm exporting, it would take 40 minutes or so.
And I'm guessing that was probably, what, 1080p video?
Yeah, 1080p. So if you're trying to do 4K,
yeah,
you know, it would probably take, 3 hours.
Yeah, so like, and this is almost real time. It's slightly slower than real time, but it's mm-hmm. it's so insanely fast. But yeah, no, new iPad, loving it. I think if you're somebody that doesn't need ultra portability, that would prefer to have the screen size, if you're going to work with creativity apps, if you're going to work and multitasking a lot, the 12.9 is the way to go. Mm-hmm. If you want that ultra portability, like if you're on flights or something all the time, I think the 11-inch is perfect for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that you probably made the right choice. My question for you is that, are you going to get a couch iPad? Like, are you just going to get a regular iPad and just use that as your couch device?
I rearranged my living room so I won't have to do that.
Explain.
Okay, so I have these chairs and stuff. I put them where my couch were, so it's in the center facing the TV, because I'm a film person and I care about looking at the TV head on, having the surround sound perfectly surround. This stuff matters to me. I know it doesn't matter to most people. So I put the chair where the couch was. The chair has a really nice arm that goes up high. So if you have the smart connector keyboard and you put mm-hmm. it in the desktop mode, so the one that's the furthest back, it works perfectly that way. So I just rearranged my living room, so I don't need to get a couch iPad.
Okay.
Though I do miss like being able to just like have something small in my hand, being able to mess around. I won't get the only iPad I think I would get now to go along with it is the low end iPad, but I don't want to buy another one of those. I also don't want to buy it while it still has the home button or something like that. If they redesign it, which I don't think it'll be next year, I think it'll be a couple years away before they redesign it, because they'll still want to keep the cost down.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would get it, but I don't. For right now, I'm happy. I'm content. No more buying stuff. It's Christmas season. Time to buy stuff for other people. Oh, yeah. Though I did buy a HomePod.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. This is like, what did Chris buy? It was a Black Friday sale. Best uh-huh. Buy. It was $100 off. I've been wanting to get one already, and I was like, okay. I knew it was coming. Like, I knew that deal was coming. It happened. I saw it. I was like, it's available. I just ordered it. I didn't have to go into the store or anything. So I ordered a HomePod. It'll be here Tuesday. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you haven't gotten it yet, so that we don't have to talk about it.
No, no. I literally, I've listened to them. They're great. I only bought mm-hmm. one. I do want the stereo pair, but I only bought one this time. So.
Okay. All right. We'll have to talk more about that next episode once you get some time in and playing with it and stuff. Because I really want to see how it kind of compares with shortcuts, and if there's like anything that can really be done with it, or what you can really do with it other than just listen to music and stuff, because I know that you're going to tinker around with it and try and find ways to automate it.
Yes. I'm really curious about that. I know some shortcut stuff will work on it, but like other stuff won't. So I need to dive into it. I don't know the specifics yet, because I kind of stayed away from it because I didn't want to be tempted to buy one. But I'm kind of curious if stuff like ask for input works, or if menus work. I have a feeling they don't. I'm sure people already know this. But like I said, I kind of like stayed away from it because I didn't want to be tempted to mm-hmm. go buy one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now that you do, you're going to be learning all this stuff once you get it. So
yeah, it'll be fun to kind of talk. It'll be a fun time. We'll talk about it next time.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I also kind of wanted to talk to you about, Chris, is we haven't done a home screen thing in a while. And I kind of wanted to share home screens again on our iPads.
Okay.
And just kind of talk about what we have on them, if that's good with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess we haven't been a real tech podcast because all real tech podcasts share home screens. So let's do this. Do you want to go first or would you like me to go first?
I'll send you mine first.
Okay. All right. We have a Dropbox link here in the document. Is that it right there?
That's okay. It. Yep. All right. There's going to be four images in there.
Okay. Four. Oh my gosh. You have four pages?
No. You'll see it once you click on it.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So let's take a look here at the home screen. Okay. Oh, okay. So this work. Wow. Okay. So, this is going to be very interesting. So a couple of things right off the bat. Of course, we're going to put links to everything in the show notes. So there'll be links to all these images so you can kind of look around with us. If you're driving, maybe hold off. Maybe look at them later. We will do our best to describe them.
There's no maybe. Absolutely don't. If you really want to do it, pull over in a safe space and look at them. Don't look at them while you're driving. There's no maybe about this, Chris.
Sorry, maybe was the wrong word. Do not look at these while driving. If you look at these while driving, the podcast will unsubscribe itself and self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Yep.
Sorry,
yep,
I watched Mission Impossible last night. That was a really good movie.
You are all over the place today, man.
I am all over the place, but you know what? I'm having fun. So let's take a look at your iPad screen here. So you have, for the wallpaper, you have one of the new iPad Pro wallpapers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you have no icons on the home screen whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, everything's on my dock.
Everything is 100% in your dock. I completely approve of this, 100%. I don't approve of the order, though. See, though I do not own a Macintosh anymore, I still think Files or Finder belongs in the far left corner. And if you're going to have settings, it belongs in the far right corner or to the right next to folders. So that's my thoughts.
Before we go like crazy, let me go left to right for the listeners
of
what I have there. So on the far left, I have the App Store, Tweetbot.
Which is the older version of Tweetbot, or did you use a custom icon?
This is the retro icon. This is the latest version of Tweetbot, but it's got the retro icon on there. I prefer the old icon compared to the new icon. And they had that as an option, and I decided to use that. But yes, it's the most recent version of Tweetbot. I think Tweetbot 5 is what it is now.
Gotcha.
And then I have Messages, Safari, Mail, Drafts, an app called Agenda, which is a note-taking calendar app kind of thing. We'll talk more about that here in a minute, probably. I have Fiery Feeds, which is an RSS feed subscription service or way for you to read your RSS feeds. Settings, Finder, and then I have three folders, one named Work, one named Utility, and one named Play. And then after that is a couple of recent things. But that's my main dock, and that's where everything lives. Nothing's on my home screen anymore. Everything lives on the dock. And if it's not a main application on the dock, it's in those three folders.
Okay. All right. I approve of this. I approve of this home screen, but I think you could do better by color coordinating the icons a little better. You could put Files to the left, then the App Store, then Mail, then Tweetbot, then Safari, then Drafts, then Fiery Feeds, then Messages, then Agenda, then Settings. Then the colors would be a little bit more like they would transition.
But at the same time, I wanted to have the apps I used the most as close to the middle as I could. That's why I have Drafts, Agenda, and Fiery Feeds kind of in the center. And then I have Settings and Files and my folders on the right. And then Mail, Safari, Messages, Tweetbot, and then the App Store on the left. It makes it kind of symmetrical.
Now, I do have another question. You took the screenshot in portrait mode. Are you writing in portrait mode now, or do you have like a portrait mode stand? I'm very curious because I know you have an iPad Pro and you have a smart connector keyboard on that.
To be honest, I just pulled my iPad out of my backpack because I was still in my backpack from yesterday when I took it with me to work. I just took it. I can take the screenshots in portrait and I'll have those in the show notes.
Oh, no, no. I was just curious if there was like something more going on here, like if you got like a portrait mode stand or something. I was just kind of curious about that. Because I know that's like the new hotness is writing in portrait mode. So I was kind of.
I mean, I do have a stand that I can use in portrait mode if I decide to use it for writing, but I've always been a landscape person to write with.
Gotcha.
I'm not opposed to writing in portrait mode, but I'm just not used to it, you know? But I'm going to take the screenshots of these in landscape mode.
Okay.
Hopefully they'll actually kind of help explain why I have my dock arranged the way that it is, because I think that's the better way to do it. So
yeah, I was just kind of curious about that. So I also see reminders in the, I'm peeking and zooming. I see reminders in the recently used applications. Are you kind of using reminders a little more or?
Yeah, I'm not using the Reminders app specifically. The app I'm using here and there is GoodTask, and it uses reminders with it. There's also another really good app called Reminder. It's actually one of the most difficult apps to find in the App Store, so I'll have a link to both of these applications in the show notes. But they're both applications that are third-party that kind of hook into Reminders, because Reminders is one of the few apps that Apple kind of allows for other applications to hook into wholly and fully. Like you can't really hook into Mail too much. You can't hook into Messages too much, except for like plugin or like
iMessage apps. Yeah,
exactly. Reminders you can, which is interesting. And some developers have decided to create third-party applications that I find to be very interesting and very kind of in like new as a way for you to kind of rethink what the Reminders app is, because it hasn't been updated in 5 years at this point. And I think it's due for a refresh. And until that can be done, these applications kind of work really well with it. The reason I decided to go into Reminders, though, is because I've been looking for something a little bit simpler. Apps like OmniFocus and Things 3 and Todoist are all great, powerful applications, but I kept getting this overwhelmedness when I was using them, and I felt like I wasn't utilizing them enough. So I would spend more time tinkering with my task manager as opposed to like just doing the things that I wanted to get done. And it became a chore in and of itself to go into my task manager, get things out of it that I wanted to use to work with, and then actually get things done. So I decided to kind of nuke and pave everything and start over with good tasks and Reminder, and kind of see which one was winning out. And I like them both for different reasons, so I'm still kind of using a little bit of both, but that's kind of why the Reminders app was there. The reason I had the Reminders app there is because there was a badge on there and I wanted to see what it was, and then I went to settings and turned off badges for that application.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't want to get multiple notifications for the same thing over and over.
That's really interesting. What I like about developers using Reminders as their backend is it means they don't have to build a sync service, which
exactly
means less stuff they have to worry about, which means probably the cost of the app goes down because now they don't have to worry about a sync service. So it's a little more affordable for people to get to. You know, I know I don't mind spending, you know, $30 on task manager apps and stuff like that. But I know that's not something practical for everybody. So
right.
I think that that's kind of an interesting way of doing it. I've been meaning to play with like good tasks more and stuff like that to kind of do that. It also works with Siri really well too, because then you don't have to say like the weird trigger phrases and stuff to get it to put into that, you know, that one app. You don't have to say Todoist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. The other app I wanted to ask you about is Agenda. What are you doing with that?
I am playing around with it. Originally, before I started like going into Good Tasks and Reminder, I wanted to kind of make that my task management application. But I very quickly realized that that wasn't necessarily the case. But I did think that there could be some seriously good uses for Agenda. And that's why I have it on my dock right now, is because I am using it quite a bit. Both on my iPad and my Mac and my iPhone. I paid for the premium service. It's like $25 a year to be able to use all the premium features and stuff. Plus, I also like to just, if I can, shell out a couple of bucks for developers for applications like this. It's a very, very, very pretty app, and it's been interesting to work with. I'm still trying to wrap my head around like what I can use it for, but what I've kind of gotten it to right now is that I'm using it to write down ideas and blog posts and just sort of get ideas out there and handle my task management in a calendar kind of setting. Like I have good tasks and reminder for, like, you know, do laundry at this time, do this at this time. But then it also syncs in with Agenda through the calendar services. And that allows me to kind of see what I have in my, what I have in my agenda and go from there and have notes connected to those calendar items and stuff like that. If that, does that make sense?
I'm with you. It's funny because every time I hear somebody talk about Agenda or I've talked to somebody about it, it seems like everyone uses it for a different use case.
Yeah.
I made a video talking about how it's a great scratchpad app just to like write thoughts down. I don't think anyone knows what it's actually really for.
It's an interesting application, and I think that you kind of have to have your brain wired in a very unique and special way to kind of understand what this application can really do. It reminds me a lot of that application Notion. They're both like really, like they can do like interesting things, but like there's no like set path of like what you're supposed to be doing with them. Like if you were to compare, and this is kind of an apples to oranges comparison, but like if you were to compare Agenda to like Things 3, like Things 3 has a very cut and dry way of like the, how they kind of expect you to use that application. They've got different things like the today view, the evening view, the someday maybe view, the, you know, they have different kind of places in which you can see things, and it's baked right into the system. There's no like customizability with it. There's no modularness with it. Like it's, that's just how it is. And you can add things like tags and projects and things like that. But like for the most part, the skeleton that's there is very, very like specific and built up to be done and used in a certain way. But apps like Notion and Agenda have all of these crazy features and all these different things that you can use it for without any kind of like beaten path that they kind of want you to go down. You know, does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's a good thing, because when an app starts telling you the precise way it has to be used, that's when the use case or the users, the amount of users for it will go dramatically down, because mm-hmm. not everyone is wired the same way. Not everyone thinks the same way. So the more open an app can be, the more flexible it can be, I think the better it works for everybody. That's mm-hmm. like apps like just like generic text editor apps are really popular because you can use them as a notes app. You can use them for long form writing. You can use them for blog posts. You can use them mm-hmm. for whatever you want. Just the more open and the more flexible it is, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot like Good Tasks as well. Like Good Tasks has a lot of really crazy, cool features, but like, they start off with like a template of like how you can do things, but like, it's crazy easy to go off of what they want you to do and kind of do whatever you want, because it's just so, modular is the word I keep coming to with this. Like you can kind of build whatever you want with it, and they have open spaces for you to put certain things in, and you could do whatever you want with it, and you can organize them in any way that you want. There's no wrong way of doing things. And it's just, here is a canvas, paint with it what you will, kind of thing.
Absolutely. Completely agree. So do you have anything else you want to say about your home screen before we move on?
No, I mean, I was curious to see what you thought about the folders themselves, but
I like it. I think I'm going to have more to say. Why don't you just go ahead and click on my link, and put in our doc, and you'll kind of see what why I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
So we are basically right along the same mindset.
We are.
I, like Jeff, have icons in the dock. So I have the 12.9 inch one. So I have two more icons in my dock than you, because I have the 12.9 gets 15, the 10.5 or the 11 that gets 13. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not wrong, right?
I believe so. Yeah, we might be off by one, but the point is that there's less.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So that's why it may look a little different. So working left to right is I have files. The proper place for files is on the far left side. And I'm kidding, by the way, when I say that. You can put it wherever you want. I have files, Safari, Spark. That might go the way of the dodo. Things 3, Drafts 5, Photos, Music, Messages, Shortcuts, Yoink, then my folders. The first folder is a folder full of shortcuts that I use to trigger. That seems to be a very popular thing these days, is to fill your home screen full of shortcuts. I like having it in a folder, so anywhere I don't have to go home, I could just flick up to the dock. I could trigger the shortcut from there. I don't have to go back to home and do it from there. It works out great. I have the extra space of the dock. It just worked out perfect. The next folder is work icons. So it's stuff like LumaFusion, Ferrite, Lightroom, stuff like that. Very creative apps, things like that. Then I have a productivity folder, which has stuff like Fantastical, Pretext, blog for Squarespace, agendas in there, Excel. I have Skype in there, because the only time I use Skype is for podcasting, so I count it as productivity, though it would probably be more like communications or something. I have GoodNotes, stuff like that in there. Then entertainment, so stuff like Overcast, Tweetbot, YouTube, Netflix, things like that. And then utilities. And that's pretty much just like a grab bag of stuff, like my password manager, Launch Center Pro, Scriptable, Carrot Weather, YouTube Studio, stuff like that. Just kind of like things that I go into to either gather information or like perform a task.
Yeah.
And then also, I didn't mention, I have no apps on my home screen whatsoever.
Yeah, you actually have a really simple kind of gradient home screen background too. Like, it's really simple. I like it a lot.
And I made this one too, so I don't feel bad about sharing it. A lot of times when people ask me for my wallpaper, and if I didn't make it, I kind of feel bad like hosting it on my website or like giving them like the non-link from that non-website. And I never store those links, so I can never find them. So that's I kind of always feel bad about that, because it's like I feel like I'm almost like taking credit for somebody else's work. But I did make this one, so I will make sure we have a link to it in the show notes, so if you want to use it. But it's basically this very light blue gradient. I went for something that wanted to be very calming. I see a lot of people like have like bright red or orange or like very warm colors as their wallpaper. And if you get into the psychology of all that, those are very like aggressive colors, especially red and stuff like that. And, you know, I like to rage against the machine, but, you know, sometimes, you know, when I'm working, I just need to calm down a little bit, and having a nice blue smoothing colored wallpaper, I think, is really good for that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make a custom Rocket Panda one where it'll have the Rocket Panda logo, but then a soft gradient in the behind. So that'll be in the show notes too.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I just do this. Stickers for logos and stuff are all on the backside, but I like this. It's very calm. I think this has probably been the wallpaper that's stuck around the most since I've gotten this new iPad. I think before this I was changing it every day.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I could not find one I liked.
Wow. All right. So I have a couple of questions about your home screen.
Okay.
Your dock seems fine. You mentioned something about Spark. So what's going on with Spark? Like, do you want to talk about email apps right now, or do you want to save that for later?
I hate email. All email applications suck when it comes to dealing with Exchange. Exchange is a big corporate, big boy email service. It's a Microsoft deal. It's a lot of people in corporate jobs and whatever have to deal with it. All third-party apps suck when it comes to working with it. AirMail sucks. Spark sucks. You can send me links to email apps all day. I guarantee you I download them and tried them out. They all suck. Mail is the only one that seems to work okay with Exchange. So that's probably what I'm going to go back to. But the problem is that I'm at this point where I get too much email, and I have a hard time like dealing with it through mail. Like, Spark has some really good keyboard shortcuts, really good like buttons on screen to quickly manage mail. Like, I can just archive newsletters, or like, just, I don't know what was up with Microsoft yesterday, but they sent me the same email like 10 times, and I just hit one button and marked and archived them all. Like, it was really great. But like, stuff from Exchange and stuff just isn't syncing right, so I just can't have that. So I will probably end up going back to generic mail. But just as a blanket statement, I hate email. Email should die.
I'm in the same boat. Like, that's the kind of the reason why I went back to mail as my email app of choice, is because my work email, which I probably use more often than any other email service that I have. I have a personal email account. I have a couple for Rocket Panda. But the one I get from my work is the one I get like 90% of my email traffic from right now, because we get tons of email every day to communicate with everyone.
Oh, same here.
That's why I stick with mail, is because the reason I use a mail client for the most part is because I need it for my exchange email for work. And mail is the only one that seems to be working fine for it. I used to use airmail for a while, and that would work okay, but it wouldn't really sync up as fast as I would like, and it wouldn't always load the messages correctly. By that, I mean like a format issue would show up, and if I try it in mail, it shows up fine. But airmail, for whatever reason, just wasn't taking the format correctly. Like, it wouldn't wrap correctly. It would be like this crazy long, super wide email that wouldn't have a text wrapper around it, where it would, you know, once it hits the edge of the screen, it goes down to the next line. Mail did that just fine. It might be a bug in airmail, but surprise, airmail is full of bugs, and it always has been, probably yeah. forever will be. And Spark seemed okay, but I felt that I was kind of cutting myself short, so I just went back to mail as well. So I very much empathize with your email woes, because it's common in a corporate setting, much like where you and I have our day jobs at. My next question is the shortcuts folder still like a primarily like a conduit of like a bunch of other shortcuts that you have connected to it? Is it basically like a launch center in a way?
It is. Some are shortcuts to trigger like a menu that has shortcuts in it. So like I have some that are just task shortcuts and note shortcuts. So task shortcuts will trigger stuff like make a new task, grocery list, new project. I even put like calendar event in there, because I don't do calendar events as much as I used to now. Like I may add like one a week now. Note shortcuts are typically stuff that works with like Drafts 5 or some other random stuff that doesn't really need to be talked about. I have like a playlist launcher in here. I've talked about this one a bunch, that'll like launch different playlists from Apple Music. But then I have things like shorten URL in here, which is just like a single shortcut that I use all the time. So I just put that in there, and I can just tap that, and that'll take any link I have on my clipboard. It will add it, run it through, I forget what service it is. It's like IS something, I don't know. It'll shorten the URL, and then it'll just add it to my clipboard so I can paste it. So, 'cause that's one I use all the time. Then I have like search Google. That's one I use all the time. Most of the ones in here are to trigger other shortcuts, but just not all of them are. What I'm doing basically is, you might notice that all my folders are not complete, except for the utility folder. That's the only one that has multiple pages. I used to do a thing where it bugged me if the folder wasn't completed. So I would download apps and stuff that fit that category that I never used, so it would actually fill up that folder. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to have any extra cruft in there. So if I find myself using a shortcut a lot, then I'll add it to that folder. That shortcuts folder will never be more than one page, because once you start adding more pages to it, it's not as useful as it used to be. So I will always try and keep it around one page, which is 16 icons.
Yeah, and it looks like you've got 14 in there right now. So you're getting up there.
Yeah, I'm getting close. And I set this up a while ago, so I think I'm fine for now. And there's a couple in here I could probably delete that if I really needed the space, like creativity and stuff like that. Like those are like those folders aren't full. I'll just put stuff in there if I need it, but if I don't need it, it's going away, because I want to keep this as clean as possible. The other thing you might notice is there is a second page, but I didn't send you the link to the second page, because the second page is where I store apps that I'm making videos about. If it's not something I'm either, like if it's something I'm just testing out to see if I want to make a video about, or if it's something that I'm kind of playing around with, or something I don't necessarily need to switch to full time to make a video about. So if it's not like, if it's like a task manager or something, I'll switch to it full time. It'll go in the doc and things like that. If it's like a text editor or something like that, I'll just put it on that second page and I'll just go there when I want to use it. That way it's kind of a little cleaner. I can kind of visually see, hey, these are the apps that I want to make videos about. I will give you a hint. Two of the ones that are on there are GoodTask and TickTick. I have not gotten to them yet, but I probably will make those my primary task managers for a while, just to kind of play around with. I also have Working Copy in here, because I need to do some more stuff with GitHub. That, and then I have a couple others that I'm not allowed to talk about. Sorry.
I'm looking in the same folder that you had Coda in and everything else. There's a lot of applications there that have pencils. Oh. And they look like to be like they're drawing apps or, you know, something like I see that you have Linea in there. You've got GoodNotes. You've got, like, is handwriting on your iPad still a thing? Because I see that you've got, like, Linea and Procreate and a bunch of other drawing applications. Like, I never thought of you as, like, an artist or someone that likes to draw and everything else. Like, is there a reason that you have all these applications? Like, are you trying to use your pencil more? Or, like, what's the thought process behind it?
So we'll start with a few of them, and I'll just kind of work my way across. So the very first one that's next to Linea Sketch is Vectornator, which is a vector creating app, kind of a lot like Adobe Illustrator for creating assets and stuff like that. So I've been kind of playing around with that. I'm not very good at that stuff, so I shouldn't really talk about it because I'm not good at all at it. Linea Sketch I have around because they have a feature in there called productivity templates where you can hand write out like lists, like task lists and calendars and things like that. And I've been kind of playing around with that idea of like making specific task lists for like videos, like shot lists and stuff like that using this so I can just like quickly write stuff down. I've been playing around with that. I'm not sure if it's going to stick around a lot because it takes a lot of work. That may just be something I do in Notes because you have like the grid templates and stuff in Notes. But it's kind of cool. Procreate is one of those apps I like to play around with because I like to see what the Apple Pencil can do. Non-artists can't do anything with it, but it was one of those things that it was such a big app. Even if there is a pro app that comes out for the iPad, and even if I won't use it, I will still buy it because I want pro apps to succeed so badly on the iPad that I will still give them money. Like Affinity Photo, I don't really use Affinity Photo because it is way too complex and way too much for my needs. I just do thumbnails and stuff, and I just use Pixelmator and Lightroom for that. But I still bought Affinity Photo. I made a video kind of a long time ago, like kind of doing a walkthrough, a little bit of the app, but like it's too much for my needs. But like stuff like Lightroom and Pixelmator, like those two are like kind of like where my level of photo editing and stuff is at. And that's what I like. If you go over to the other folder, there is an app called Gooba, and they're Gooba. And I've been kind of using this as I talked about how I was using Agenda as a scratchpad app. I was trying to use this as a scratchpad app. It's really interesting. I'm not sure why the pencil is the icon because you can't really do much with the Apple Pencil in it. So I'm not entirely sure why the Apple Pencil is the icon. It actually has a bug right now where it doesn't open on the 12.9-inch, on the new 12.9-inch iPad Pros, or at least on mine it doesn't. I don't know if about everybody else's, but on mine it doesn't. So I'm kind of waiting for an update to jump back into that. The icon next to that is Blog. That's just the Squarespace blogging app. Then Agenda, we already kind of talked about that one. The bottom one is GoodNotes, and that's the one I've been using for like handwriting and like taking scripts and stuff and putting them in there and marking them up to kind of edit them with the Apple Pencil. I'm really excited about this Apple Pencil. I guess last time we recorded, I didn't have the Apple Pencil, right?
Yeah, I forgot that that's the case. So
yeah, that should have been follow up.
it's still kind of pertinent to like I imagine you're probably using the pencil more, right?
Yeah. So one of my biggest complaints about the Apple Pencil is later on in its life, the battery did not. It you keep charging batteries over and over again, they deteriorate over time. So you'd plug it in, you'd charge it, and you'd work with it. And mine was getting to the point where it wouldn't last very long. Plus, I had it on that pin loop that was attached to my iPad. And since it was so close, it was always active. So mine was always dead. So I destroyed the battery on my own Apple Pencil. That's my fault. This one, since it goes up top and it's always charging, it's always ready to go. It's always paired. I just take it off and start using it. Does that mean the battery life is going to get really bad over time? I honestly don't know. Apple's usually pretty good about taking that stuff into consideration. The original Apple Pencil wasn't meant to stay near the iPad and stay connected the whole time. This one is built for that. So I'm guessing what happens is it goes into, like, after it's fully charged, it goes into some sort of standby mode and it's not charging anymore. Because it's inductive charging, so I'm sure they can just turn that on and off. They can say, hey, the Apple Pencil's at 100%, let's just turn that off. And then it probably will check back every once in a while or so and just, like, kind of, you know, give it a little bit of juice. I don't know. I honestly don't know if that the battery is going to be bad on it. But I love the new Apple Pencil. I love the flat edge on it. It makes it so much easier to hold. The double tap feature is great in apps like Ferrite. I'm pretty basic. I set it to play pause. Okay. So when you double tap it, but I was in my Apple Pencil video, I was talking about how I could actually edit a whole podcast just from my Apple Pencil, because I could do play pause to tap, swipe down on a track to cut, swipe in from the right to delete, and then swipe in from the left to select clips, and then I can use the Apple Pencil to move them over. So I could pretty much do my whole editing process from the Apple Pencil. I don't even need a keyboard anymore if I wanted to. But I do find it really quick to just, like, have my hand on Command T to cut, double tap to play pause on the Apple Pencil, like select clips, move them around, things like that. So overall, I really like it. I think even if you're not an artist, if you're somebody that's, like, working on with video or audio or something like that, or just wants to move around the UI because of RSI issues or something like that, the Apple Pencil is really, really good for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
I haven't used my Apple Pencil in months.
Yeah. And you know, I don't blame you, because you don't edit podcasts on your iPad, right? You use Hindenburg on your Mac.
Yep. Yep.
Which is totally fine. Everyone can do the things they want to do. I really like the Apple Pencil. I think if you're going to use the iPad for a long time, think of the Apple Pencil as the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's a good way of thinking about it.
Yeah, as a precision pointing device, it works really well. But, like, I haven't had a need to really do that. Like, I would, like, if I had to choose between a keyboard or the Apple Pencil, I would choose a keyboard tenfold.
I would do the same thing too. Like, I would pick a keyboard over the Apple Pencil. If somebody was taking one away from me, I would take the keyboard any day, because I can do more with keyboard shortcuts than I could with an Apple Pencil any day. But yep. I think the two together are really important, especially in my editing workflow, either video or audio.
So I think that kind of begs the question of, like, are there any other applications that you're using that aren't I guess not unpopular, but, like, applications that, like, not everyone else is talking about that you kind of want to give honorable mentions to?
Yeah, they're not Ulysses, basically.
Yeah.
I do have a couple, and some of these I might have mentioned before, and some of these are new. Local storage, I think, is a big one, especially if you're buying one of the higher tiers of storage for the iPads. Local storage will basically, in files under the On My iPad section, will create a folder called Local Storage, and it'll just let you save any kind of media there. And then if another app has support for files like LumaFusion or Ferrite or something like that, I can go into that local storage stuff and import audio or video or other assets or something from that. So I use that all the time, so I don't have to worry about stuff syncing up to Dropbox or iCloud and then syncing back down and keeping that always going. This makes my workflow much quicker. That being said, you know, it isn't syncing up to Dropbox or iCloud, so if you do make a mistake with something, there is no way to roll back that mistake.
Right.
So that's just something to keep in mind. So you just got to be a little careful with it. I don't mind it. I've never made a mistake that I regretted with it. It's just like, you know, working off your hard drive on a computer. In between backups, that is. You know, if you do a full backup and stuff, that, you know, obviously that'll recover. The other app is Tide. I think I talked about this one, but it's just a noise app. I really like it. It has the Pomodoro timer thing, however that's called.
Pomodoro?
Thank you. Whatever that is. Basically, you know, you set a timer to start working, and then you set a timer to take a break, and then you set a timer to work and break and blah, blah, blah. What's really nice about it is if you have it running on your iPhone and you're working on your iPad and you pick up your phone to search Twitter or something and you leave the app, it'll send you a push notification very angrily that says to come back or you'll lose your point. And, you know, if you're a kid from the 90s and you played Pokemon, you know you have to catch them all. You got to get all those badges. And got to get all the Pokemon, so obviously I need the points that literally don't matter for anything whatsoever.
Right? Yeah, you can't redeem them.
Yep, yeah, no, they're not redeemable for a new Coke. The other app, Scriptable, is something I've been playing around with. I'm not super familiar with JavaScript. That is something I need to get better at. I see a lot of automation stuff going towards JavaScript now. Yeah. And that's what Scriptable is. Scriptable is a more advanced version of Shortcuts. If you know JavaScript, it will be your best friend. If you don't know JavaScript and you would like to learn JavaScript, this would be a good way to kind of like test out your JavaScript knowledge. It's like Shortcuts. It does stuff like Shortcuts, but you have JavaScript, so you kind of have a little bit more control over it. You can take a Scriptable shortcut and run it within a shortcut. So that's kind of cool. That's kind of
nice. Yeah, and I think there's like you can do a lot with JavaScript for drafts as well. Like drafts has a really good JavaScript support and everything, and like a lot of really powerful drafts actions have been made specifically with JavaScript code, which is cool.
And that's where basically all of my JavaScript knowledge comes from, is what I've played around with in drafts, and it's not as good as it should be. I really need to get better at it. And that's kind of like on my list of things to do.
Mm.
Another application that I like is AnyFont. It allows you to add any font to the system.
What a name for that. That's a wild name. Yeah. I never thought they would use that.
Now, I forget what what it's called, but the app has to support, is it FontKit? I don't know, but basically the app has to support the system version of the fonts. If they implement their own fonts or something like that, then that font won't come over. It's really annoying. I really hope the way fonts are implemented and stuff in iOS gets revamped, because it's kind of a pain in the ass right now. But hopefully it gets fixed soon.
One thing I learned is that I thought originally that Pixelmator Pro didn't offer that kind of support. Because when you like enter in text mode and you type in text, there's like 10 different fonts you can choose, and they're all part of the built-in fonts that Pixelmator Pro has. But it turns out if you go deeper into the settings and everything, you can actually select fonts that are installed through any font or are just system fonts that are built into the iOS. You don't have to just use the 6 or 7 that they have built into the app. You can use whatever font you want. You just have to know where to look at. And with that, I actually might make a blog post on it, because it was one of those things that like really made Pixelmator Pro that much better for me, because I was able to use the fonts that I wanted as opposed to the ones that they gave me.
Yeah, I have a video on it too as well. I guess it's not that old, but yeah, I have a video as well, but you should write a blog post on it.
Mm-hmm.
Last couple, Notebooks has been a very interesting app. People have been trying to get me to try this forever. They basically call it a good version of Evernote. It's a very meticulous app. There's a lot of settings and there's a lot of stuff you can edit. I've just been using it to kind of like write outlines and stuff for videos, so I can have drafts open to write my script and the notebooks open to kind of view my outline. I so desperately want the ability to put two windows of the same app side by side, so I can have two drafts documents open at the same time. That would be so fantastic. It's rumored. It'd be great if we saw it. I'm not like holding out hope for rumors and like saying, hey, it's definitely coming, but I think it would be great if it did come, because I think that's like that particular situation is where I'd use it the most.
There are other applications that allow you to have split view and things like that. So I think it's doable, but we'll see. You know, you're not going to hold out hope or expect anything to come tomorrow for it, you know?
Yep. And the last app I want to talk about that I think I mentioned a little bit already is Lightroom. Lightroom, for those that don't know, is actually, it's not free. There's an in-app part, there's a subscription that goes with it. But if you just want to use the basic features of Lightroom, tweak a photo, like brightness, contrast, add a vignette, curves, things like that, like RGB stuff, like there's a lot of stuff in there that's absolutely free. You can export your photos as many times as you want. Lightroom is a fantastic photo editor. It's what my professional photography friends, that's what they use to edit photos and stuff like that. Obviously Photoshop is like, hey, when you really need to get super detailed into a specific photo, but like if you're just tweaking the way a photo feels, Lightroom is the place to go. It's if you're wanting to up your Instagram game, check it out.
Nice.
Yeah. So do you have any apps kind of along the same vein that you want to talk about?
I have two applications that I kind of wanted to give a quick mention to. The first one being the stock calendar app.
Okay.
The reason being is because there are like really good calendar apps for iOS and the iPad specifically. Fantastic Al is great. Calendars 5 by Readle is great. There's a couple of other ones that I can't remember off the top of my head, but those are the main two that I've been using for a while. But I decided to go back to the stock calendar app just because I like, for the same reason I went to like Good Task and Reminder. I wanted something that was, that would be hooked into the main app, the main calendar app, and Fantastic Al and Calendars 5 would hook into iCloud no problem, but I wanted something a little bit simpler, and I wanted something a little bit that would, something a little bit easier to work with. Like the Fantastic Al app for the iPad, I feel is a secondary application that was, you know, basically a, for a bigger screen, but it, Fantastic Al has always been an iPhone calendar app to me, and I still use it on my iPhone. But for my iPad, I use the stock calendar app because I think that that's the best one out of the, all the options that allow for native iPad compatibility that isn't weird. Like I just, all I want is a simple week view on my calendar and to see what's coming up next and everything else. And with Fantastic Al, it's more of a, an agenda style, and Calendars 5 is kind of a really busy look, and I'm not a huge fan of it. So Calendars, the stock calendar app is the one that I kind of stuck with. And I'm not, you know, I think it's fine. It's not the best application in the world, but it's been working a lot better for me than other applications I've tried in the past. Secondly, is an app called Pretext, and it's just basically a plain text editor that allows you to hook into the Files app. So if you want to load .txt files or .md files or whatever you want, you can, you open up Pretext and it hooks into the file system. You can choose the file which that you want to edit, and it's got great syntax highlighting. It works really well with Markdown and HTML, and you know, it's just a really, really handy text editor that I use quite a bit when I'm working on articles for Rocket Panda, and it just, it works out really well because it's a really nice plain text editor. It's not the place I go to for most of my writing. I still use Drafts 5 for that, but in the event that I want to just edit something really quick, and you know, Pretext just seems to work out really well for files that I have stored in like my Dropbox or my iCloud or wherever. It just works out really well that way. So those are two applications I think that are worthwhile to look into and try. And one last app is, I have been using Acorn 6 on my Mac, and it's a photo editor. I think it's comparable to maybe Pixelmator for the Mac. Like those are the two that I see compared a lot. It's a lighter version of Photoshop. I felt that I wanted to get something that was a little bit easier to deal with because I don't really do a whole heck of a lot with Photoshop, and I have it on my Mac, but I wanted to see if I could use something a little bit lighter and a little bit easier for me because I felt that Photoshop was basically trying to drive a semi-truck through over a tiny bridge to go from one place to the other. Like there was no need for it. I could just use something a little bit smaller and more nimble. And that is what Acorn kind of seen for me. And there was a deal on MacHeist.com for it, so I just bought it, and it's working out pretty well for me so far. I haven't really done a whole lot with it, but it's really, really similar to Pixelmator and Photoshop. So it's really easy to pick up if you know those applications at all. But those are the two that the two or three that I wanted to kind of mention, and everything else, but that's really it.
Yeah, I completely agree with Pretext. Pretext is a fantastic app. It has a beautiful dark mode and a beautiful dark mode icon too, as yep. well. So highly endorse it. It's a great app. That being said, our Skype connection is completely going to crap right now. So I think that means it's about time to wrap up. If you guys are looking for my work, you can find all my stuff on theentitledsite.com. By the time this is up, my 12.9-inch iPad review will be up. Links to my YouTube channel will be there. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Chris_Lawley, L-A-W-L-E-Y. Jeff, where can people find you?
You can find me over at rocketpanda.net or over on Twitter at I am Jeff Perry. And, you know, if you have any questions, comments, concerns about the episode, or you want to find show notes, you can go over to aslabofglass.com and see all the show notes and stuff there. And you can tweet at us at A Slab of Glass if you have anything pertaining to the show. Chris and I both look at that quite frequently. So if you want to get a hold of both of us and you don't want to at both of us on Twitter, that's the best way to do it. Until then, though, Chris, I think it's time to say goodbye. And until next episode, have a great day, guys.
Talk to you later.